Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And we continue on with our series, our current series on the illusion of free choice, returning to mastering your own life. And today we are really, really excited to have with us Laurel Erica. And we came across Laurel. I'll get into that story in just a little bit, because this is a topic we've been wanting to specifically speak to somebody about, and we've been looking for a while. And we first came up, I think we saw a...
When we say a while, we mean about 2 months.
Well, 2 months specifically, yeah, where we've really like, we need to talk to someone that really understands words and the spells that we can put on ourselves. And so when we came across a video that you did, Laurel, we just lit up and we're like, we need to get a hold of her right away. She would be a perfect addition to this series in covering this aspect. So today, my guest is linguistic evolutionary and educational entertainer, Laurel Erica, the creator of Word Magic Global, wordplay that unravels mass hypnosis and elevates the frequency of consciousness. Laurel's Word Magic is a mind-bending, paradigm-shifting reintroduction to the English language that brings to light the hidden philosophy in puns, anagrams, and the symbols of the alphabet. By revealing some of the secret spells of the English language with which we write our own life sentences and sacred pathwords that point towards liberation, Laurel shows in verse and prose how young and old around the globe can collectively, creatively, and quite rapidly take command of the English language and upgrade it to facilitate our essential evolutionary leap from humankind to humankindness. Laurel, what an absolute honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you. What a pleasure to sit with the two of you and the cradle of love that you embody together, that I feel so welcomed into, and what a blessing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I wanted to start this off by playing just a 2 minute and 10 second clip directly from your website where it introduces Laurel Erica, because I read, when I listened to that, it just, my whole body kind of lights up, and I think it gives a nice introduction for people that aren't familiar with you and the work that you're doing, and then we're going to dive right into it. So I'm going to just pull up your website here. So everybody, this is directly from Laurel's website, wordmagicglobal.com, under the section of Introducing Laurel Erica.
And we highly recommend that you just sit back, stop what you're doing, and just enjoy these play with words that Laurel Erica is just so gifted with. Enjoy.
Welcome. This is Laurel Erica. You're about to enter a world of words unlike any you may have learned in your schooling growing up. Here you will find ways of playing with words and with the symbols of the alphabet that the wise ancients of the East and West both practiced and encouraged to help people develop greater literacy, wit, and wisdom. Such an art has mostly been forgotten and dismissed as utter foolishness in contemporary Western culture. But don't you be fooled, for the keys to the kingdom are always hidden in plain view, and the world is put together word by word like a puzzle with the pieces too long hidden before minds that were conditioned not to notice. What I have found is that just by opening up words like oyster shells, we can discover pearls of wisdom with the powers to enrich us profoundly. Or we may uncover the seeds of our own destruction, which we've been scattering unwittingly through our casual conversations. And by so doing, we may actually be pronouncing life sentences upon ourselves and upon each other that diminish our capacity for joy and for entelechy, the actualization of our essential potential. So I invite you now to join with me in retuning and reinventing the English language to a finer, freer frequency so that we can parole our souls into a state of conscious liberation and life-enhancing recreation. As you explore through these pages, let what you find here remind you of your own umbilical pipeline to higher mind, so that the divine wisdom, beauty, insight, love, and kindness natural to us all can flow through you spontaneously, both verbally and energetically, in ways that will delight your own heart and will enable us collectively to turn the tide on the global sea of consciousness.
Laurel, I think that's just so beautiful, and it opens up so much conversation. So like I was saying at the very beginning, we started to become more aware of words. You know, it's honestly something that I can't say I really paid attention to, probably like the vast majority of listeners, until it started to become, we were away for a while in Mexico, and some of the people that we were meeting there, the conversation around words really started to come up. And we were actually taking a Spanish course, and it was based in endolinguistics. So the idea of even origins of words and meaning behind words and how they've changed and this kind of stuff started to come up. And it sparked a conversation just around like, what's going on with words, and why do they have that, these sort of weird sayings that sometimes we say? You know, we started thinking about, why do we say good morning? And why does, you know, that was one. And the idea of like a weekend, and some of these things that have these weird undertones almost, that started to just actually not feel in resonance anymore. So I think Taya was even starting to switch good morning to grand rising a lot of times. And that would be how she would end emails and texts, or just be speaking to people in person. And when I came across your work, I was like, that's exactly what we wanted to dive into. So thank you so much, Laurel, for being a part of the show today.
Well, thank you so much for welcoming me so beautifully and so lovingly. Happy to play with you.
Yeah. So I think maybe at the beginning, you mentioned in the website and in the introduction we just did, you said wordplay that unravels mass hypnosis and elevates the frequency of consciousness. That might be a really great place to start and a big question to open up with, but how do words play into mass hypnosis? And then on the flip side of that, how do we use them to facilitate consciousness?
Well, words are the instrument of the hypnotist and the propagandist, and they do induce sleep and trust, especially when you haven't been educated. I read many years ago that a democracy requires an educated middle class. And I saw years ago a documentary about a conference convened by maybe Rockefeller about what happened, what went wrong in the 60s when all of a sudden women and minorities thought they ought to be able to have free will and determine their own destiny. And they decided that people had been overeducated for democracy and that they had to dumb it down. And the education that I got in grade school, elementary school, public school, relative to what my son got a generation later, it was a vast difference, because there has been an intentional dumbing down. And there are many beautiful words that I discover synchronistically that inspire a greater sense of human possibility. And those have basically been lost to posterity. They're no longer in the dictionary, or they have been, the definition has been dumbed down. And one of my favorites is the word anamnesis, A-N-A-M-N-E-S-I-S, which means the supposed recollection, the recollection of knowledge from supposed past lives. So in other words, this soul has access to its whole history of evolutionary learning. And the more contemporary definition is a patient's recounting of their medical history. Hmm. So, what an absurd reduction. So words are manipulated constantly to shift people's perceptions. And most recently around, as we know, the whole COVID deal. So perception is everything. I saw a David Icke little clip just the other day that popped up that said perception determines behavior. And the word is the lens on the world. And so how we speak becomes the lens through which we perceive it. So when you speak about good morning, most people come to my work through a video I posted in 2010 called The Secret Spells of the English Language. And because I haven't been very good at or interested in self-promotion, it had to grow on its own. And within 5 years, it had a little over 90,000 views. And then someone called me and told me it had 55,000 views. And I said, no, this is what it has. And she said, since I posted it on the Facebook page of Collective Evolution 3 hours ago. So people have heard that life sentence. We awake each morning and go off during the weekdays to earn our living at various jobs and undertakings until we come to the weekend. And each one of those words can be taken apart to reveal its deeper meaning or its other meaning, let's say. So how can that not affect us subliminally? It's a very dark vision of reality. And people who found it then wanted to know who did this to us. And certainly there's intention behind a lot of it. But I have also, all of my work is intuitive and speculative. And that was later confirmed by a lot of what I subsequently learned. And so my speculation is that words are not merely grammatical, they're hologrammatical. So there's echoes and reflections in our words of cultural consciousness as well as higher consciousness. And somehow, without sharing a common history, words with the same resonance, because everything is electromagnetic vibration, migrate across continents, cultures, and centuries to come into the same sound and reflect upon each other when we put them side by side. And the easiest examples are pray and prey, and prophet Jesus or Muhammad, and prophet that's made on the supposed birthday of Jesus. And look at the word supposed. It's like so posed to be. It's posed as. I mean, we've only recently had to don masks, but we've been living in a masquerade forever. Everything is a false narrative for the most part. And I've looked at it in language. And there is Sherlock Holmes was said, what is it? The world is full of obvious things that nobody happens to notice. And with language, because there was such double talk coming at me from the people around me, I had to decipher it and to know what jabberwocky they were speaking and where they were coming from. And that's what set me to doing it in the language. And I really believe and have evidence that I came in specifically to do this and started very, very early. So there are these words that, so that life sentence, we awake each morning. I wondered, well, where does that come from? And I realized that when English was this molten flow of consciousness fed by many rivers, the dominant influence was the church. And the idea of a universe irreconcilably divided by conflicting male superpowers, one all good, one all evil, the fallen state of humanity and the misery of life as well as the inferiority is kind of written into the language at the level of symbol and sound. And because we have been deafened by our definitions and taught to overlook the obvious, and also to treat words that are related by sound but seemingly not of meaning as inconsequential, as coincidence, and which is a coincidence, but which is dismissed as an insignificant convergence of seemingly disparate energies and ideas, because we have been acculturated to ignore the obvious. We either overlook or underhear all the ways in which the word is echoing and reflecting us, because English is, and reality is like an echo chamber and a hall of mirrors. And there's constant reverberations of sound and sense with significant repercussions in how we perceive reality and therefore what we create in our lives. So, sometimes I feel like I'm walking or talking on through a minefield and detonating subliminal explosions. And I have I've posted the first page of something called proposing changes to our terms of agreement. And one of those terms is nervous system. How can you have a calm nervous system? It's oxymoronical, which means it's completely a contradiction in terms. Mm. But if we called it something else, like an electromagnetic highway or system, and all of these terms can be tuned up the human instrument, our way of seeing and our way of being. And another one is, I mean, because I would hear it and I'd hear the oppression in it, the phrase atmosphere. To me, I hear atmosphere. And people, the fear level, the frenzy of fear has been amplified so that we're under this heavy cloud, this atmosphere of conflict and of animosity and of fear-based antagonisms.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When in fact, we are all one being and we all have the same goal, which is to actualize our true potential for sharing our gifts in the world, for being who we truly are, and for being seen and beheld with love and appreciation by other people. Because I'm convinced that we are a collective being, and the fact that right now I can see you and you can see me, but I can't see myself. We can't. We need that reflection. And only a part of our energy incarnates at any one time. And if you, parts of you, the uniqueness of you is rejected, it's kind of like leaves. And that's what shamanic soul retrieval is about, to invite back more of the preciousness of who you deeply are as the infinite in finite form, so it can activate itself and unfold its gifts. So that's kind of what I think about it. And of course, there's more to say about it. And words are simply hypnotic. And Greg Braden has a wonderful piece on Gaia called Language and the Matrix, in which he says things about how our words wire up our brain and wire our access to the matrix. So we are, you talk about free will. A friend, I don't know if he said it or I said it first, but that we don't have ideas. Ideas have us. And we are their arms, their legs, and their mouthpieces. And when you don't have much education, but you have tricky wordplay in the form of memes that sound smart, that you may not understand, but you'll give your life to defend. I mean, that's how effing insane it is. And individuality, our word identity, which sounds sacrosanct, sacred, our precious identity, is almost identical to the word identical. So this impulse to try and create beings with identical identities like ants, under the command of a techno queen and monitored by drones, that's what's happening, or that's what's being attempted to superimpose itself on our collective impulse to congregate as self-actualized beings into a superorganism and create, you know, pool our common wealth for the healing, upliftment, and transformation on the planet. And it seems to be, you know, efforts to preempt it into turning everyone like everyone else and uneducated and compliant with the will of the few endeavoring to control the many.
Wow. So friends who had no idea why we would be discussing language at this point for the series of The Illusion of Free Choice, I think that described it. We couldn't have described it any better than what you just offered.
Here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When you were talking about the nervous system earlier on in your wordplay, you spoke of the umbilical pipeline to the divine. And I wrote that down because I thought that was just so strikingly beautiful. And I think we could alternate the nervous system for, we can just swap that out for the umbilical pipeline to the divine. That's
What's interesting that you were saying too, and even when you mentioned David, when we interviewed David, David Icke. When you were mentioning that, when we talked to him, he had also said one of the most dangerous things that you can be is an individual.
And dangerous
subversive.
Yeah, dangerous to the system, because because when you're an individual, you don't fit into the box anymore. You know, you can't be sort of, you're unpredictable, right? Yes. And he said that's probably the most important thing that we can all be, is embrace our individuality again.
Yes, absolutely. And it's that surprise package that we get to unwrap, unless we had really awake, aware parents who recognized early our divine impulses and did everything they could to support them and then get out of the way. And a friend of mine is an expert at that. I highly recommend, especially homeschoolers, look at the websites of Risa Brown, R-E-S-A. You might want to interview her and I can connect you. Her two websites are thecalltobrilliance.com and passionorientededucation.com. And Risa helps children develop as they were meant to, into the Renaissance geniuses we were all built to be. Most of us get pretty crushed growing up and can lose sight of what we came here to do. And it can be recovered and it will be recovered. And looking at my own life, because I certainly got steamrolled over, but I look at all the losses and all the of what I counted in the past as deprivations and realize that I got off scot-free, because here I am now alive and with a gift to offer, not only about words, but about human kindness, and that being the source of such exquisite pleasure, and about what I believe is our greatest desire, which is to unfold fully that essential potential that is our essence and true nature. And anything else is just counterfeit pleasure and distraction. But especially right now, when the stakes are so high and the cosmic energies are so intensified to support our full evolution that we have been working toward over many lifetimes, that we get to fully flower in this world and beyond, contribute our scent and senses and our beauty and wisdom, and discover it sometimes for ourselves. Certainly, I am in a constant process of discovering, you know, look at what I thought I was and who I really am. It's a huge contrast. And anyway.
No, it's so fitting. I mean, we have a 5 and a 6-year-old
And an 18-year-old
as of yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, so it's all over the map. But the 5 and 6-year-old, we have chosen to kind of take them out of the regular system, and they're in a forest school. And we sat with this, and we were just having this conversation yesterday around, and it's getting out of the, it's really doing the best we can to not create our own judgments around what we think is absolutely right or wrong. But I think being really clear with what really resonates with us at certain times and following our own truth around that. And so we had a conversation around, in regards to parenting for our kids, what is really the most important thing at this point for us that we would want to be able to assist them with and provide for them?
And As far as an education came.
And ultimately for us, it was the idea, we really want them to have a very grounded, solid sense of self, like mm-hmm. from the grander purpose, because then from that place, you know, and I know some people say, well, you're keeping them away from the reality of the world and these sorts of things. I'm like, you know what? That's good, because they don't need all of that. They need to first have a solid, grounded sense of who they are, so that when all of this, I would say, chaos and confusion comes, they've got such a strong sense of self that they can separate it, rather than become all confused inside and then not sure what to do, and then ultimately outsource it to someone else to tell them who they are.
Which is what normally happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bravo for you. I'm so happy for you. And I have several quotes that I'm fond of sharing, one being from the poet, well, his name is escaping me at the moment, German-American depressed Charles Bukowski, who said, "Most everyone is born a genius and buried an idiot." One of the life sentences I've called the secret spells of the English language we awake each morning, our premier life sentence, but it really isn't. It's just a neater package to put together than the one I have for children, which is how it starts out. Oh, first of all, they newly arrive and they're referred to as the new arrival, and they're looked upon as a rival, sometimes by the other partner in the marriage as well as by the children. So already there's a word of conflict in it. And then they hear throughout the day, time to change the baby instead of time to change the diapers.
Yeah.
And I mean, what a condemnation that is. And then they go to school to learn lessons, and no growing thing wants anything that lessens their time for exploration on their own and then support of that. And their lessons, they are taught in school, and taught, T-A-U-T, means tense, and tension is a cause of nearsightedness. And I years ago did research to write an article on natural vision correction therapies. And one of the things I read is that, as I recall from how many years ago, I don't know, that only about, was it 10% or less, are born with vision impairments, and about 60% need glasses by adolescence. And the need for glasses follows a traumatic event by something like 12 to 18 months. And the type of correction needed depends on the type of compensation they've developed to protect them from whatever the trauma happened to be. And people with different personalities need different correction lenses for their different personalities. And as Dr. Joe Dispenza says frequently, your personality creates your personal reality. So when you break the habit of being yourself, you open for a whole reset with higher frequency energies to move through this system and put everything into harmony again. So bravo for you for taking them out of school. And oh, just to finish that life sentence, many children don't want to be a grown up. And who wants to be a grown up? It already sounds like pain. Mm-hmm. Their natural essence, the natural essence that you are protecting through the kind of education you're giving your young children, protects them when they move through that transition period that we've termed adolescence, which sounds like adolescence, when you're so overrun by hormones and by the influence of your peers, and now by all of the technology and the games and stuff, that you lose sense of your essence. Mm-hmm. And after being completely addled, and then finally you arrive and become a fully fledged adult. And adult is another word for idiot. And you get to celebrate on your 21st birthday by indulging in spirits, now that you are so divorced from your own natural connection to spirit, your umbilical connection to the divine. So what a life, what a process. And it takes people going countercurrent, as you are, and as I endeavor to do, to be able, especially at this time, to wade through the riptides and calling forth the guides and angels who work with us to support us, because they are seeking fulfillment in, through, and as us and with us, not taking us over, not us channeling them, but a collective enterprise to bring forth the greater. I'm just wrote a blog this morning that I'll post after I've had a chance to review it. But I mean, I love it when you just a divine idea just drops in on you and you get to play with it. It's so much fun. And then it's catalytic and enjoyable for others. And then they do the same thing. They just open to allow their innate genius to flow through. And that sort of censoring robocall that's plays through everybody's mind, the mind chatter. And my quick little poem for myself years ago was, "We've a cellular line to the divine, but ego causes static. As we each let go and enjoy the flow, our lives become ecstatic."
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if it's possible for friends who haven't heard Life Sentence yet, if you would mind reciting it for us.
I would be happy to. Thank you. So this is a sentence that I put together. Gosh, I don't know if it was before the 1990s. And it goes this way. "We awake each morning and go off through the weekdays to earn our living at various jobs and undertakings until we come to the weekend. And all people agree that that's the normal way of things. Only more people die of heart failure between 6 and 10 a.m. Monday morning than any other time of the week." So, and this is something I've heard from various medical people, starting with Deepak Chopra. And so when you translate that life sentence, which is something that I like to do, I translate English and I spell it T-R-A-N-C-E with the idea that words cast spells. They are our lens on the world. And when you translate that, you remember that awake is also a funeral party for the dead, where you celebrate the dead. Mourning is the state you're in when you attend awake. So when we say to each other good morning, on a subliminal level, we're saying good grief. We would have to be staggering around through the week in a weekdays to earn our living, since urns are vases for the ashes of the dead. We call our jobs undertakings. Job itself is a Hebrew word for persecuted, as in Job. And what we get at the end of this perverse bargain with life is progressively weakened. And when we wish each other have a great weekend, I mean, we get the weekend of this bargain where we sell our time and labor for someone else's enrichment just to be able to survive minimally. And so have a good weekend instead of have a good strength end. And I found it amusing that many people in Britain describe a 10-year period of time as a decade rather than a decade. And so I don't know if I remember. Well, I will just try it. At first, I suspected the hand of illusion entangling the language to foster illusion. And I think it's quite true that a culture's theology has a great deal to do with a word's etymology and how it evolves over time to combine incompatible meanings that may undermine the original thoughts it was meant to define. But now I don't think it's all planned, for the thing that I've found is that like concepts can gravitate toward the same sound and vibrate at the rate that our thoughts designate, because words are electromagnetic vibrations whose fine alphabetic tintinabulations can take on the tint of our true expectations, which they then imprint on our metal of mind, causing sounds to adhere when they're of the same kind. So that's basically what I believe. I think it happens magnetically in large part to reflect the dominant cultural imprint.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, we were just talking to Jonathan and Andy Goldman, who are been in the world of sound and sound healing and musicians for a long time. And I'm going to carry on this conversation, I think, in another series with them, but around the idea of harmonics. And he was kind of talking about a lot of times, even with harmonics, you don't even have to do anything. Just sitting and hearing things, it's having an effect on your body. And it resonates with me in the way that you are speaking about this. And a lot of this stuff just goes on, and without you having to even be conscious of it, it's just having, you know, an electromagnetic effect. Like, there's so many overlaps with this. Like, when I think about, even when we talk about things like electromagnetic frequencies, right? And there's a lot of, you know, what we're perceived, it's very much in the similar way. What we perceive through the five senses is this small little bandwidth, yet the greater reality is massive, and all of that is still coming through and affecting us, even though we're only perceiving a small amount that we call our perceived reality. There's all these other things that are influencing it. And when we talk about electromagnetic fields, often in the electromagnetic field, there's the first wave that we talk about as the electromagnetic field that's creating this effect. But what's rippling off of that, like a boat going through the water, are these compression waves that are having this secondary effect. And that's what we actually call electrosmog. It's this buildup that's taking place. I feel like we are literally in this word smog that's been going on for so long, and that we are now, if we can see it and then actively choose to do something differently, I think that's kind of the best, to the same as what I feel like we're trying to do with electrosmog and EMF pollution and all these different things. Yes. You know, once there's an awareness to it, then we can do something with it.
Yes. Yeah. It is exactly coming to awareness. Just wondering whether that opening stanza of my piece, first person singular, that goes, "This life is like a shadow play. the flickering of night and day through which illusions in our minds are manifest and intertwined into a web that few evade, though they see through the masquerade. So the fact that think and thing, it's just the final letter that's different between them. And we jump from think to thing, never thinking anything of the weird phantasms we are conjuring together. So yeah, it is pollution. It's language pollution, it's consciousness pollution. And gosh, maybe 12 years ago or so, I had a dream in which I was listening to a very advanced linguist. And he said that when we upgrade English, that the new beings coming in won't have to forget who they are or why they're here. And I remember, and that's the ultimate purpose of my work, it recognizing that language is software. And I have to confess, I don't listen to my podcasts. So I don't, and that's not bragging, that's lazy. And so I want to share something that's just fun. First of all, I want to talk about life stream. We're on the row gently and merrily down the stream. Life is but a dream, and life stream and life's dream are the same. And I think the reason that it was that so-called heresy, not buying into the dominant cultural narrative, which we have a resurgence of these days. In the time of the church, it was punishable by horrible torture and brutal end of life. I mean, brutal murder. It's just, and I think it's because our collective mental energy, they want it all focused on the same paradigm so they can manifest it into the life stream. Because you don't hear a difference between life stream and life stream, because there really isn't. I think we are conjuring together this nightmarish reality by buying into it. And so much of that happens through words, because the word is the lens on the world. And now cognitive science is finally proving it. But we've known it forever. And you may have another question. I sometimes can go on too long. So I ask that you interject yourself before I get started again on another tangent. But what I was going to, the tangent I was going to take had to do with a vision statement that I then turned in at the end to a piece of verse that maybe you've heard on some other podcasts, and forgive me for my redundancy. But that was the first little piece. So in all our efforts to heal our psyches and raise consciousness on the planet, we have all but overlooked the very instrument of conscious thought and communication. Yet our forked tongue English language, which is the leading software of the Western mind, is itself in great need of retuning and upgrading. Over the course of my life, I have cultivated a heightened sensitivity to how the total normality of insanity in society is echoed, reflected, and reinforced by the English language, which inadvertently yet unavoidably propagates the antiquated and manipulated vision of reality promulgated by the church as an instrument of mind control at a time when people had to surrender their minds if they wanted to keep their heads about them, quite literally. So if we elect collectively to upgrade the English language to a higher frequency through our linguistic creativity and our naturally occurring verbal eccentricity, then ultimately, even clatter from our idle chatter, prattle patter, blabber blather and palaver as we jabber gab and babble on, will turn our glowing terms from verbal vapor, either hanging in the air or trapped on paper, into tiny bits of shiny matter as we gather, chat, and natter on, and with new skill at trilling, thrilling statements that instill fulfilling imagery of higher possibilities, will finally still the quiet riot of the wild child's manic panic through the mind, so we can flip the switch, enlightening every circuit of our consciousness with the electric surge of verbiage that encourages superb and selfless services to spread from soul to soul around the globe by what is said in all the light years up ahead. And then, from the islands of silence between all that's spoken, we will listen as doors to the heartland spring open.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Laurel, is it just in the English language? Or do you find these same sorts of...
If I knew more languages, I would find them, but they are found in all languages. And I once met, amazing synchronicity, I met a woman who told me she knows she has at her command 67 languages, 52 of them dead languages. And she actually was interested in what I do with words. And somewhere I have a quote from, I'm not sure whom, but he said something like the differences between languages is a singular way of making puns. So it's whatever is in the cultural consciousness that has coalesced into the same sound. So I met someone maybe from Sweden, and so Swedish people may tell me I'm completely wrong because it's been a while, but that the word gift, which did not mean what it means in English, meant marriage and prison. And someone, I think from Germany, said the sound for the word for shame was the same sound for pubic hair. So these are echoes and reflections of cultural consciousness, and then there are the sacred path words, which I haven't shared nearly to the extent of the secret path of the secret spells, but boy, that's where the wisdom comes from. Like I've written things for children. I just haven't published them. And I need more of my own time to be able to complete many projects. And for a living, I have been, I have classes online, and I've also edited for thought leaders. And it's wonderful, but I feel like I'm being crowded out of my own life. And I'd like to complete many pieces, but just start by asking your children, what do you think is the significance of the fact that the word earth is the same as the word heart? It's just where you happen to place the letter H. So what might be... what would you interpret from that coincidence? And I believe you will get some very interesting answers, and none of them are wrong. They're all right answers. And the first child I asked, probably seven, said maybe it means that the earth is the heart of the solar system. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons I say that word magic turns youngsters into punsters, mm-hmm. and punsters into pundits in the ancient Indian meaning of a pandit, a wise commentator. So there is wisdom in everyone.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.